We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now joining us inside the Bears Sunroom Studios, Vice President of Baseball Operations, General Manager, the Magic Man is really what it ends up being. David Stearns joining us here from the Milwaukee Brewers on the 105.7 FM, The Fan. David, appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. Always happy to come down here. It's a great event, and appreciate you guys having me.
Well, I'm glad to see they got smart and made you president of baseball operations, because we talked about this last year, didn't we? Pretty sure we talked about this last year.
I appreciate your endorsement. I appreciate your endorsement.
Trust me, he had nothing to do with it, sir.
No, I didn't.
He gets all the credit.
I'm just glad it happened.
He gets all the credit.
Yeah, give him all the credit. It's about you, Steve.
Hey, I'm just glad it happened. Now, I got to say, man, I'm not as happy this year as I was last year.
Should we just give him a lead, the three of us?
No, he don't. Just let him get it out.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll let you guys talk at some point.
Go ahead.
Because, look, you always say, Gary, you're the voice of the fans, Sparky. That's what you say, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That means you get to ask some weird questions.
Let's go, boys.
All right, so this is where the struggle is, I think, with some people, including myself. So,
I'm glad you had yourself in there.
I will, yeah.
Okay.
So Mike Moustakas, gone. Yasmani Grandel, gone. Fine. So now you look at it and you make the trade for the catcher today from the Seattle Mariners, which I think was a nice trade. I'm not going to get into what I think of the minor league prospect because, let's face facts, I didn't see a lot of them play. But I think the sense amongst Brewer fans is, you know, after you kind of felt like we were in go-for-it mode, at least that's what it felt like to Brewers fans the last couple of years, now it kind of feels like we're kind of taking a step back maybe a little bit here, reloading, rebuilding. Reloading to me means veterans, one-year deals, trying to be competitive. Rebuilding to me means young guys are going to be good in a couple of years, and we're going to let them learn at the major league level. How would you categorize how you see this offseason and what this roster is going to look like going into next year? Hold on one second.
There we go. Good?
Yeah,
all right, good. There we
Sorry
go.
Yeah.
I think first and foremost, we feel like we've got a very competitive major league team. We've got a core of players around which we can build. We will build. And it's also important to recognize how we've built this team in the past. We got to a game within the World Series 2 years ago without Yasmani Grandal,
sure,
without big name free agents. We had an offseason last year that frankly was somewhat unique. I think at this time last year, I probably had no idea that we were going to sign Yasmani Grandal. I didn't know where that market was headed. We didn't know that we were going to be able to bring back a Mike Moustakas at that point. We weren't sure where that market was headed. I expect that throughout the course of this offseason, there are going to be unique opportunities for us as well that are going to allow us to supplement the Major League team. That's our focus. Our goal is to continue to sustain this competitiveness that we've had the last 3 years. We've had a really good run the last 3 years, and we believe that the core of our Major League team right now is going to allow us to continue that run.
One of the other things people, including myself, want to know is starting pitching, and with the new rule coming in as far as how relievers can be used going forward, now does there become more of an emphasis for the Milwaukee Brewers to go out and maybe sign one of their more name-ish type starting pitchers and spend a little bit more money in that area?
So I don't know that the rule change, and I think the one you're referring to is the three batter
yep.
minimum rule probably, I don't know that that necessarily impacts starters quite as much as it does the types of relievers who you want to have on your roster. We haven't used a whole lot of situational matchups throughout games. Craig doesn't actually do that a lot. Craig goes to the bullpen a lot, and we make use of our bullpen a lot, but the types of guys who we're using and we're leaning on are generally full-inning or multi-inning guys, and obviously it starts with Josh Hader. So I don't know that that rule necessarily impacts us a great deal from a game strategy perspective. I do think starting pitching is important, and it's always been important. For us, we need to develop that starting pitching internally. It is going to be very challenging for us to sign elite starting pitchers. Generally, when you are signing an elite starting pitcher, it's as that player is right in the prime of his career, or maybe perhaps as he's on the backside of the prime of his career. And so you're going to pay for some potentially unproductive years as well. So our goal as an organization is to be able to develop those types of high-end caliber starting pitching internally. We feel like we've had some success doing that. Dating back to a Jimmy Nelson, who was on that path prior to an injury. What we saw from Brandon Woodruff last year, what we saw in flashes from Adrian Hauser last year, we still have faith in a Freddy Peralta and a Corbin Burns that they can make those types of jumps and become consistent major league starters. And that's what we are going to have to do to get those type of consistent starting pitchers on our major league staff.
And how about Eric Lauer, as he's added to the mix now, similar mold, controllable asset. What have you guys seen from him so far in his 2 years in the big leagues that you believe he can be that for the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, what's so impressive about Eric is so we've got a former first-round draft pick who flew through a minor league system, got to the big leagues a year and a half or so after being drafted, and has competed really well. Generally, inexperienced guys like that who first get to the big leagues have some bumps along the road, and we've seen that with some of our guys. Even a Brandon Woodruff, who took a massive step forward over the last year, had bumps at the beginning of his career. Eric's been able to come to the big leagues, throw strikes, get outs, and we expect him to continue to do that.
Well, you got to think, though, this has got to be tough. I mean, you between Grandal and Moustakas, that's about 70 home runs that you got to go out and replace. Not only that, though, I think your team, too, has had a lot of continuity. You had a good locker room presence. That's going to change a lot, though, in trying to get this team off to another good start.
You're right. And the culture that we've created, the culture that Craig and our staff has created in our clubhouse is a big part of our success, and we recognize that. And we are going to have to focus on that throughout spring training. We do take that into account in the types of players we try to bring in. It's a focus of ours as we get our groups together for the first time to make sure that we're buying into the right things. If you go all the way back to 2016 and 2017, when we started this process and we started making significant jumps toward competitiveness, we've had a lot of roster turnover since then. We don't have a lot of the same guys around even right. 2 or 3 years ago, and yet the clubhouse culture, the continuity of our group has remained. And so I'm optimistic that even with some new faces going into next year, and there will be no new faces, clearly, that we will still have the same competitiveness and culture that we've been able to create for the past few years.
Joining us out here in our Bear Sunroom studios at 6th and Ross in Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek for our toy drive is Brewers Vice President of Baseball Operations, David Stearns.
First of all, I want to say the logo is amazing, the rebranding of it. I think that really brings in more fans, especially the millennial types of ones in the 20s and 30s.
Are you a millennial?
Of course I am. Based on how
he's
you
friends
feel,
with all of us. Yeah.
Based on how you feel, not how you look.
Millennials at heart.
Yeah, right. My point is this, that when you think about the budget, when fans react, like, why didn't we give Moustakas $65 million? Why didn't we give – I don't think they understand – and I'm not going to say small market. I won't even go there. That's kind of insulting sometimes because I don't think fans understand that. But they don't know that it's a hard – like, you have to meet with Mark – and you guys come up with a collective plan, and somewhere along the line, I don't know if he gives you the eye, like, I don't want to go over 150. I mean, you go over 150, I don't think we can sustain that. Have y'all had that discussion already, or you kind of wait till later in the spring, or what do you do?
So payroll and resources, that's always a part of what we do, and it has to be.
Because you're an analytics guy, right?
Well, I think we try to be in baseball information guys. In general.
Oh, that's the new one.
I like that one.
Baseball information.
We try to get as much information as possible, mm-hmm. determine what is actionable information, and use that to help us make decisions. In terms of budget, we're not going to have the same budget as the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
We're not going to have the same budget as the St. Louis Cardinals. We're not going to have the same budget as the Los Angeles Dodgers.
But will the budget be the same as last year, more or less?
I think that's to be determined. It depends on what opportunities are out there for us to get players.
Great answer.
And if the players are out there that we think it makes sense to extend, Mark has always given me the leeway to extend. And so we have the resources to be competitive. We need to allocate those resources effectively. That's my job. That's what I focus on. I focus on the resources we have, not the resources that some other markets may have.
Now, and David, I thought one of the cool comments that Craig made after you guys clinched again for the second consecutive year was talking about a conversation you and him had leaving Miller Park about signing Yasmani Grandal and the opportunity you were going to have to get this organization to back-to-back playoff appearances, first thing that's happened in over 30 years. Where does that now go for the next 5 years? Because Mark said it at the logo unveiling of 2020 was kind of where we believed the target would be for the competitive window to kind of open up. We can all agree with what we've seen the last 2 years. That window appears to be wide open at this particular point in time.
Sure, and that is the goal. The goal that we have established for ourselves is to build a team that can compete consistently, to compete for division championships, playoff berths, and ultimately World Series championships for a consistent period of time. We've done that for the last 3 years. We fell just short 3 years ago. 2 years ago, we had a really good run. Last year, we made the playoffs. We believe we have the core that will allow us to continue that, but we have to make smart decisions, and we have to make tough decisions. Yeah. And if we want this to continue for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more years, at times it's going to mean letting some people walk away that maybe in the near term we don't want to. I know Mike Moustakas is a really good player.
We love him.
I know Yaz is a really good player.
You helped all those guys make a lot of money.
What's up? Those guys contribute a tremendous amount to our organization and our team, and we would not have done what we did over the past 2 years without contributions from guys like that. And so now it's my job and our job as an organization to replace those guys.
How do you deal with rumors? Because
Josh Hader.
What rumors are you talking about, Leroy?
Josh Hader.
Well, I wasn't going to say that name, Steve.
Josh Hader?
You were just going to say 71.
No, I mean.
Just get to it.
Let's get to the Hader thing. I mean, because sometimes I don't ask, you know, higher ups about rumors, but when it comes from a source, these are media guys.
What are you?
I only use the media when it's to my advantage.
That's right.
But
Do you have any free brewer swag?
No, I already
want a new logo because you didn't bring any stuff.
I already have it. Mike Masalas is my guy.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, is this assistant here?
Assistant, yes.
Yeah, what's her name?
Jen?
She doesn't have it with her.
Thank you for being here, young lady, because I didn't want her standing in the cold. But how do you guys deal with rumors? Because you know how social media hear about it. Hey, they said Josh Hader, they're going to trade him for 15 guys. How do you deal with that, or you just ignore it?
Yeah, we don't pay much attention to it.
We clearly can't control
what is reported, what is not reported. There are so many discussions that take place over the course of the offseason. We literally will have a discussion at some point over the course of this offseason, probably about every player on our 40-man roster. That is natural. That happens probably with every team. It's certainly the way I've conducted business here since I've been here, is you don't turn off the phone and you don't hang up the phone on any conversation. It doesn't behoove us to do that. So some of those conversations, it appears, sometimes leak. Sometimes there are incomplete truths that are out there, and so it doesn't do me and us as an organization.
Don't confirm or deny. That's what I never say.
To pay much attention to it. And frankly, we don't pay attention to the rumors from other clubs as well, because we know if a good segment of the rumors about us have very little validity or no truth to them, then a good portion of the rumors about other teams probably are going to be similarly inaccurate.
So I'll ask you a tough question you may or may not answer. I know in certain league circles, there are certain general managers that will reach out to certain media members to get out their narrative that they want out there or to do what they want. And I also know that there are certain agents that will do the same thing. Do you find that's where most of this comes from, is actually from the teams themselves trying to push something one way or the other, or from a player's agent trying to start something up for his player?
That's a fair question. I'm always curious about where some of this stuff comes from. some of it, frankly, is pretty easy to trace back to either a particular team or an agent or a source. Some of it seems to appear out of thin air and you don't really know. I've come to the conclusion that I'm not going to be able to stop it. That rumors happen, and frankly, it's not a bad thing.
Some of these rumors. We'll keep them going for you. We'll let them put it out there. We do it all the time.
It fuels conversation. It fuels interest from our fan base. So I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that even controversial topics become public discussions, because it allows people to talk Brewers baseball.
Listen, I thought that maybe Craig Counsell should have got that Manager of the Year award. I don't know how that shakes out.
But I would agree.
I think that, you know, he's got a very difficult job to manage, in that the way you guys have set things up with your pitching rotation, who's on, who's not on, who's sitting the game, who's not. I mean, I think that's very difficult to do. Do you guys find that, though, also very difficult to do when you don't have that frontline guy, that guy you can go, he's going to get me, you know, 20, 25 wins. Maybe you got two of them, like Houston. I mean, they got like three, four of those guys. How difficult is that to do?
Yeah, we would love to have Justin Verlander. We'd love to have Garrett Cole. We'd love to have Steven Strasburg. Yeah. We'd love to have Max Scherzer.
Not everybody can get them.
Not everyone could, and like I said before, we've got to develop those guys, and that's on us. We've got to figure out a way to get those guys in our system, develop them, and develop our own version of what those teams have. It certainly will make our roster construction easier. It will make Craig's job easier.
Yeah.
When you can plan about that in their absence, I think Craig does a great job of piecing our staff together and piecing games together.
Talking with David Stearns here on the Wendy's Big Show live at our 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive. Now, you guys had to make some very difficult decisions here within the last week of Travis Shaw being let go, also Junior Guerra, who meant a lot, obviously, to you, one of your first acquisitions of the team. What were those decisions like? I'll start with Travis Shaw.
Yeah, those are never easy decisions, and Travis is a guy who contributed so much to the growth of this organization and the turnaround that we had.
Yeah, he was a part of
over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And great locker room guy, great guy in the community. I think our fans really related to him well. And so to say goodbye to someone like that is tough. As we worked through the process with Travis and his representatives, I think it became clear to both sides that probably this was the right time for a fresh start. Travis had a year I think he'd like to forget last year, a year that's probably not indicative of who he is as a player. Mm-hmm. And so turning the page probably on both sides at this point ultimately was the best outcome.
How close was it for Jimmy Nelson?
In our decision there?
Yes. Yeah.
Look, that's another tough decision where you've got a pitcher who was on the verge of becoming one of the best starters in the National League and had a freak injury, an unfortunate injury that cost him essentially 2 years of his career and what should have been his prime. We're not closing the door on Jimmy. At that point, given where the arbitration process would have taken him salary-wise, we thought it best not to go through the arbitration process with him. But with the vast majority of these guys, we'll remain in contact with their representatives and see where it goes.
When you're the president of baseball operations, general manager David Stearns, every time I've talked to anybody in baseball, they hate that whole process, that whole arbitration process, if you have to get into it, because the players come out bitter 9 out of 10 times about what management just said about them, and you guys get put in an awful, awful position.
Yeah, I can't say it's the process you would design if you were building this thing from scratch. It's the process we have, and so we do our best to work our way through it. We try to be very respectful in our negotiations, and the goal here in any negotiation, but certainly the salary arbitration process, is not to speak ill or poorly of your players. Mm-hmm. It's to appropriately place your players within the salary structure. That we really do try to focus on what is fair, what is appropriate based on the salary structure and the player's past contribution. And I'd say for the most part, we are able to do that. Sometimes you do end up in a salary arbitration hearing, and when that happens, for the most part, both sides understand it's part of the business.
Now, what are we going to do about Christian Yelich? He is vastly underpaid. Braun come off the books in the future. This is a not. You don't have to answer this. I'm just putting it out there. Sooner or later.
Are you talking to yourself?
No, because I'm thinking if you have a deal somewhere, you don't go back to the store and say, here's the money. You just say you got a good deal. The player outplayed the contract, and you try to do that. So you don't have to answer that one. But what I want you to know, that how does it feel to get 40,000 fans on a Tuesday? In this market, that's amazing. I think y'all had close to 3 million or over 3 million fans. So the fan base is there. That has to feel good. Like a game, like during the week, to get that many fans is just remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the unique nature of this market. There aren't markets this size that can consistently build a attendance record and a fan-based loyalty that we've been able to build here, and that our fans have demonstrated their support. It makes our jobs a lot more enjoyable when you show up to a park on a Tuesday evening and there are 40,000 people there cheering like crazy. It makes our players' job a lot more enjoyable. It makes players want to come here. And I think that is sometimes lost on this. We have been able to recruit players here because they know how great our fan support is, because they know it's going to be an energetic environment every game they have at Miller Park. And so it's a huge advantage for us.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and ask the question Leroy didn't want to ask. He just threw it out there. But
what?
So Christian Yelich, though, I think.
No, though, we said we're not going to touch certain subjects.
No, you said that.
No, you said that. No, so you going to let me talk to him or not?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So Christian Yelich, I mean, does it come into play, though, who you sign, knowing that this thing is kind of out there looming at some point that you're going to have to pay him? Because I think if you look at history, Prince Fielder, I mean, we end up not signing him and letting him go. And,
that's a fair question. Yeah. And look, that out-year payroll flexibility and commitments that we're going to have in the future, understanding there are certain players that we're going to have to retain, certain players whose contracts come up at certain points, that has to be part of what we're looking
at. Well, can y'all give us that rumor when y'all about to do it?
There we go.
Just feed that to us so we can break that news. Right, Steve?
Have you started talking about extensions with him yet, with Yelich?
We don't discuss any contract negotiations.
Tell us off air.
Regardless.
Yeah. I had to ask. I knew he wasn't going to
tell me. But it is part of the process, though, as you're looking at all these other contracts.
Yes, we always have to evaluate what contracts are coming up when and how we can potentially handle that. And that's part of trying to build an organization that can consistently compete, is not locking yourself in to a situation where you're unable to have the flexibility to do certain things that you want to do.
Did you ever thought, though, when you took the job, I mean, most people thought, and we did here at our station, we thought it was like a 5-year process here. I mean, it happened quickly for you guys. But did you ever thought that you'd be sitting here, you're going back-to-back playoffs, and then your team is kind of flipping over, you're turning over, and then now you're at it again. But have you been able to enjoy some of the success that you've had? Because I think for us, it happened much earlier than most people thought.
We certainly enjoy winning. I think that's why you do this, is to get to the moments like we had in 2018, to the moment we had this past year in Cincinnati. Those are really fun moments, and you enjoy those moments. The ultimate goal is to do what the Washington Nationals did this year. And that's why we continue to work. That's why we continue to try to get better. That's why we try to give ourselves as many bites at the apple as we possibly can, because we know once you get into the playoffs, you have no idea what can happen.
Because that's what we try to tell most people. Everybody thought the Dodgers were a shoe-in, and if you look at their roster,
and their payroll.
But if you're in, anything can happen. I think that proved that out.
I think that's right.
I want to go back to the Yelich thing for a second.
Oh, my goodness.
Just for a second.
Okay.
When you are in a market this size and you're not the Dodgers and you're not the Red Sox and you're not the Cubs, are you really in a position where you can spend $30 million a year, $25 million a year on one player, knowing it's going to take up a certain percentage of your salary? I mean, is there a point where you go, look, if it's taking up 20% or more, we can't do it? Or do you have that number in your brain, or how it works?
I don't know that there's a steadfast number. I think it's certainly going to be unique to each individual situation, each individual player, what the rest of the roster construction looks like. We try not to live by hard and fast rules. That's one thing I've learned over the last couple of years, is if you make too many rules for yourself, you will inevitably break some of them. And so we really do try to evaluate each individual situation on its own in terms of what is in the best interest of the long-term pursuit of the franchise, and that pursuit is to win a World Series.
That's just great stuff. David, you got one more segment in you?
Sure.
Appreciate it, man. That's David Stearns, Vice President of Baseball Operations for your Milwaukee Brewers. Guys, quickly before a timeout, it's the holiday season, and there's only one stop that you have to make before the holidays come and go. It's Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, conveniently located off 43 North at Silver Spring Drive, just blocks away from the Bayshore Town Center in Glendale. It's 15 minutes from anywhere in Milwaukee. They have a huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles that can put you in the Benz you've dreamed of just today, because they're working hard to close out a record-breaking year at Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. So I can assure you that they're going to do whatever it takes to put you in the new Benz that you have dreamed about today. Check them out at MercedesOfMilwaukeeNorth.com.
Hey,
when you get there, ask for Austin Della. He's the sales manager. Tell him the Wendy's Big Show sent
Stern's you. Stern's phone going off. That's what Tyler says. Quit talking about Yelich.
This is the Wendy's Big Show, live here from 6th and Ross in Blaine's Farm in Fleet, No Creek. We got more with the Vice President of the Milwaukee Brewers after this.
You're listening to the Wendy's Big Show, broadcasting live from the 13th Annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services, presented by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, on The Fan.
The Wendy's Big Show, live out here at 6th and Ross in Blaine's Farm and Fleet, live in Oak Creek. We would not be able to do it without our corporate sponsors, Annex Wealth Management, Bayview Shade and Blind, who are matching donations right now between 4 and 6 o'clock today. They've been matching donations, so one huge push for the last half hour and then one more day to go. A lot more coming up here with David Stearns, President of Baseball Operations for your Milwaukee Brewers. But first, see Sparky Pfeiffer.
Robert's Specialty Meats. Now, with Christmas just over 3 weeks away, as you work down your list of gifts for friends, family, co-workers at the office, or best neighbors, here's an easy item which pleases nearly everybody. A gift of delicious meat from Robert's Specialty Meats. The perfect holiday gift which shows your great taste is a Robert's Specialty Meats Ribs on a Stick gift box. Back to go. Or you can create a gift box of such items, including their legendary Al Capone Italian pork roast, hand-cut steaks, or an assortment of original sausages and brats with over 30 varieties to choose from. Not sure what to buy? No problem. Roberts has gift cards, which can be redeemed throughout the year and will be appreciated by those for your good taste. Call Roberts Specialty Meats today, 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT. When you visit, be sure to sample some of their original Cherrywood smoked beef sticks or jerky, including, Gary, a new bourbon-flavored jerky. The
Steve
perfect
Palica,
snack treats anytime. Yep. You can check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons for the best in meats. It's Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, joined now by the President of Baseball Operations for your Milwaukee Brewers, David Stearns, in our Bear Sunroom studios out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. David, want to get back to the move you made to start out the offseason of the Eric Lauer and Luis Urias deal that sent Zach Davies and Trent Grisham away. First off, those two guys that you lost. Zach Davies, very successful year last year, coming off a big bounce back. How is that going to be a loss for the rotation coming up this year?
Yes, Zach's been one of our more consistent starting pitchers since I got here, and he's been a reliable guy who has taken the ball consistently. He'll throw strikes. And so we will need to replace that production, and we think Eric has the ability to do that. Eric also gives us a left-handed presence in our rotation, which we think is important. So that part of the deal was something that, look, it's always challenging when you give up players who have proven themselves at the major league level and have contributed to your team in the major league level. But in this case, we thought the return was something that we had to jump at.
And how about Trent Grisham? I know you mentioned right after that it wasn't a deal where you were looking to get rid of a Trent Grisham, but when it evens out talent for talent, prospect for prospect.
Yeah, Trent's a really good player, and we saw that here at the major league level at a really young age. I think he's going to be a very good player going forward. That is not an easy type of talent to trade away, but we think we got two really good players back as well, and certainly my hope and my expectation is this is a trade that works out for both teams, and it's something that 5 years from now, both teams can look back and say, you know what, we got what we thought we were getting when we traded these guys, and those are the best types of trades to make.
How much do you think Luis Urias is going to be able to help you this year at the shortstop position or where else in the infield?
We think he can help us to a significant extent this year, and he can play shortstop. We think he can play second and third as well. I expect he'll see significant time at the major league level and help us win games.
When we talk about this baseball team and we look around the rest of the division, and I'm amazed all the time by your patience, or at least here on the microphone, you seem very patient. I would not be. And
you're the only guy I know can smile and still talk at the same time. That's amazing.
Yeah, I guess so. I agree with
that's
you.
That's amazing.
But you look at the Reds, obviously, you know, doing what they've done, and you look around the division. Does the owner of this baseball team ever get a little bit impatient when he sees other teams in the division or in the NL doing things, and we're kind of sitting here and not doing much?
I think Mark understands what our long-term goals are, and he understands how we're going to get there. And being impulsive is generally not the best way to to build a team.
But he is definitely a fan.
Oh, sure. Well, Mark's passionate and competitive, and he cares a tremendous amount. That's really good. We should all want bosses and owners of your local sports teams who are passionate and competitive and care. Mark wants us to win next year. He also, I think, has a great deal of confidence in our approach and how we have gone about building teams in the past. And he believes that over the course of the offseason and in season, that we'll be able to build another competitive team.
You know, you talk about pitching and developing your team and your pitching. And the Green Bay Packers have this philosophy. It's draft and develop. Who are some of the young guys that you're looking to try to develop and move into that next level?
Sure. So I think we talked about some of those guys who have already reached and touched the major league level, the Brandon Woodruffs, Adrian Hauser, right. Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burns. I think if we go down a step and we look at some of the arms that we drafted in this most recent draft, our first round draft pick was a left-handed pitcher named Ethan Small. Our next draft pick was another left-handed pitcher named Antoine Kelly. Two very different types of pitchers. Small is a college pitcher, very polished, should move relatively quickly through our system. Kelly is younger, came out of a junior college, and may take a little bit longer. But those are two guys who we view as very high ceiling, high upside left-handed pitchers who should have the ability to really impact a major league team.
How's the family life? Now, you, for your wife, do you shop for her for Christmas? Do you send an assistant? Because we talked about Black Friday. Are you a Cyber Monday guy?
He never saw that question coming.
No.
Did you?
No.
No.
Sorry, David.
But we're used to it.
I just think people need to know more about Stearns as a man. I mean, baseball stuff, all debate.
I'm a Christmas Eve shopper. I'm a panic shopper.
There you go.
Same as me.
I'm a panic shopper.
You get the best deals.
I don't know about that.
You got a lot of money. I'm broke.
You certainly get the most stress. I mean, you get to Christmas Eve, you realize you haven't bought presents for anyone, and figure out a way to sneak out of the house, go find a store that's open, and figure it out.
Because you remember when we first had you, when you first came up, we asked you on this show about getting your wife a coat.
That's right.
Yeah, we said, did you get her a coat? Because she's coming from down south up here. And, you know, getting her a coat and that kind of – I think those are the stories that people like. I mean, how do you shop? And, I mean, was your Thanksgiving good and stuff like that?
Was your Thanksgiving good, Dave?
We get caught up in baseball.
I can do quite well on Thanksgiving. I enjoy the Thanksgiving meal.
Okay. Now, do you cook the turkeys?
Is that your next question?
I stay as far out of the kitchen as possible.
They kick
me out of the kitchen. Yeah. So I'm in charge of nothing food related.
So you're on the couch watching football, hanging out.
That's my goal.
That's his goal.
That's his goal.
When you've got a 14-month-year-old running around, you're generally in charge of the 14-month-year-old and not a 14-month-old, not a
girl, boy,
daughter. Yeah.
Okay.
Girl.
Okay.
And realize that at that age, all the toys in the world really doesn't matter. It could be a piece of string
somewhere
that they're more excited about than the actual gift itself.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's the reason why we are here for, you know, Children's Wisconsin, for kids. Some kids are going to be on Christmas, as we talk about, in the hospital. So we do this to make sure they have a great Christmas.
Yeah.
And I think that's the good thing about this time of the season. What do I know about Mr. Stearns that I didn't know before? I think people know that
now they know I'm a terrible cook.
Right.
And a panic shopper.
Because we know you're a great GM, but I think the other things, you know, the family side of it. I mean, I bet you I would be assured. I don't know. I don't think people know you had a 14-month-old. I don't know if they know or not, but I think that kind of stuff is important. We don't need to get in names and stuff like that. But that's the kind of stuff when you come home after a game. And the family gives you a chance to just calm down. Family is very important.
I mean, that's something I learned really, really quick. My daughter doesn't care whether we won or lost.
Nope, she don't care. Just daddy.
My daughter's just happy I'm home, and I'm always happy to see her.
So, could you imagine, because he's my best friend, could you imagine being in a car on a 5-hour road trip with him?
What do you mean?
The conversations that you guys must go through.
I don't drink. I'm going to do all the driving.
Yeah, he doesn't drink, which is good. You got to have a friend that doesn't drink, which is great.
Yep. I'll just agitate him, and that's normal. What you got, Steve?
You want to learn more about David Stearns, right? That's what this is all about now with you?
Well, yeah. All right. I think that's important.
How about his relationship with another general manager in town in John Horse?
Okay.
So John and I have grown to know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, I think
now he's a basketball information guy, not analytics.
There you go. I'm sure he'll appreciate that character.
We're
going to
coin that
phrase.
He's learning.
Look, I have a tremendous amount of admiration for what he's done with the Bucks and how that has contributed to the culture in this city. I was at a bunch of playoff games last year, had a blast.
Nice.
So it's fun watching what he does and what the Bucks do. I don't know all that much about basketball, to be honest with you. All my focus is
well,
pretty
Yelich
much,
can chug a beer, apparently.
That, yeah, so I was at that birthday. I was at that game too,
very nice.
And that I was a little surprised to to see him get after that.
They showed Yelich a scene, and then you were sitting right next to Yelich, weren't you? At one of those games,
I was right next to Yelich.
What
exactly
are you, a stalker?
Right.
You
no, I was at the game, and they show Yelich a scene, and then David's sitting there like, okay,
I'm just watching a game.
Sounds good, guys.
I'm just watching a game.
That's nice.
But no, it is. I think we can relate to what each other goes through and the challenges and the benefits and everything. It's really awesome, I think, for the entire city to have multiple franchises that are doing well at the same time, and we both enjoy it.
So it might not have been basketball, but if it wasn't baseball, what sport would you be working in?
So frankly, I played basketball growing up, so it probably would be basketball.
Give me some stats. Give me some
they're
stats.
They're not good. That's
not good. That's, you know, people are Googling it right
that's,
now.
That's why I'm doing this. But when you work in one sport, 99% of your attention goes to that sport. And if I start spending a ton of time studying up on basketball, I think my wife would have a major problem.
Hey, I got to ask one more question because I'm being bothered by it consistently. And it's so not important to me at all, but it is to apparently a lot of other people.
Does it keep you
all
awake?
Not like Gilbert Brown. Okay. All these new logos that the Brewers have coming out, people want to know about, are there going to be all new license plates for all these different logos that people can buy?
That is a wonderful question.
For Rick Schlesinger.
I have no idea.
thanks a lot, Steve.
I am sure we can get that answer for you.
I was told to ask by several different people that don't even know each other.
I feel ill-informed that I have not been able to provide the answer.
Listen,
that
you don't need to worry about that.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, more importantly, can you fill us in finally about Omar Narvaez today? Yeah. And then we'll let you get going here. Enjoy the holidays.
Yeah, so this is Omar Narvaez, catcher we acquired today from the Seattle Mariners, is a guy we've been discussing since really the beginning of the offseason. He's one of the better left-handed hitting catchers in all of baseball. And we've got him for three more years under team control, someone who we're excited to have as part of the organization. We think he complements Manny Pena really well. Probably also has the ability to play a little bit of first base if we decide to go that route down the road. So it's someone we were happy to be able to pull off the trade, get him in the organization, and we believe we'll be able to provide some left-handed punch to our lineup.
How does that conversation happen? You just kind of
pick up the phone.
Really?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Just like how amazing. You used to ask that girl that you met at the junior high mixer if she wanted to go to the movies.
What is a mixer?
Pick up the phone. I don't know. You're the old guy. Why don't you tell me?
I don't use that word. Man, mixer.
Can
what
we
is that?
Go, please?
Yeah, let's
LeRoy.
Get let's,
Jim,
let's
what
let
is a mixer?
LeRoy's going to block this guy
mixer.
And get us over in the corner. David, really appreciate it, man. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's David Stearns, the president of baseball operations for your Milwaukee Brewers here, joining us inside our Bears Sunroom studios.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.